thinking through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of?
Wait. Sorry.
Do it again.
Yeah, one more time.
What should I do? How should I do it? I got a problem, man. How to get through it? Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life's a Band, John Jarrett.
I'm BJ.
I am Rich.
I'm Mike.
I'm Matt.
Yay! And we want to thank everyone out there for listening to our show. It's been a couple of weeks, but we're back at it. Just for you, the fans. The fans.
Only for the fans.
Yeah, we're talking just, to ourselves.
Yes, exactly.
Only fans.
Thanks out there for liking and subscribing on all social media. You can find us across all social media platforms at Life's a Binge. Places like Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook.com/Life's a Binge. You can email us at Life's a Binge@gmail.com. You can call a voicemail number at 619-438-0532. Or you can join patreon.com/Life's a Binge. Become a producer of the show like Jess Jansen, Christopher Name, Breaker of Brokenness, Queen of the Patreon and Mother of Dagos, or Tight Wallet Tony, or David, or Joseph Krishi, or Kathy Weintraub, or you can become a couch potato like David, or BJ, Mikey, or myself. Couch potatoes are awesome. And the honorary bingers out there as well. So patreon.com/Life's a Binge if you feel so inclined. But with all of that business out of the way, go ahead and take a big old breath and let's start the show.
Life's a binge.
You can let it out, Maddie.
Nice timing.
What's up? Is that Rich is in HD and looking fly AF.
I am jealous. Super jealous.
My networking group said the same thing. Like, oh my God, Rich looks amazing. You too can look like this for the low, low price. No.
Hey, that could be your future.
Maybe.
Like, in the immediate future is setting up people to look super duper good on Zoom.
Maybe.
What are you on? What are you filming on?
It's the same camera that I use to shoot with my Canon 5D Mark III.
Are you using a Cam Link?
Not yet.
Or something?
No, they have software now. They just it's in beta. They just released the beta software for it for free. So yeah, I'm tethered with my orange Tether Tools cable. Also not sponsored. Not yet anyway. I'm just gonna keep naming off companies until they
that's
get
right.
money.
That's exactly right.
That's how that's gonna go
directly to you.
I happen to be watching and facilitating this whole thing on my Apple iPod.
Ah, yes.
just saying, it's an Apple iPod, and I'm checking my notes on my Apple iPhone.
You're on an iPod?
So, an Apple iPod, yes, and an iPhone. So. Right. And my Apple Pro, well, it's not mine, but it will be one day.
Yeah. Huh? Hold on a second. Let me check something really quick.
Oh, there you go.
what were you looking at?
I was just checking something on my Apple iPad. Like, I just had to check something out.
Whatever you pulled up, I'm sure it came up quickly, though.
Right? That's right.
And,
we
you know, to record
ridiculous.
This, to record this episode, we are not using Facebook, just so you know. So
yeah, it's true.
What happened there? I missed that boat. What happened?
It just you couldn't record it. You couldn't you so anyway.
They're behind the times.
Yeah. They're trying to catch up desperately.
didn't Google release a new thing recently?
I think it was they just updated Hangouts.
Yeah.
So that it works better and that it's free. Like the professional version became available for everybody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not as good as Zoom.
I haven't tried it.
We love Zoom. Zoom.
Zoom, Zoom, Zoom.
It's because Zoom works.
Hey, it works.
Without having to think about it.
Yeah.
But you notice Facebook is like battling that. It's like they're all of a sudden they have like these groups where you can get in and FaceTime with everybody, and it's a direct response to Zoom. So underdog fan of that I am, I would like to see Zoom do well, you know, and
then get bought out by Facebook, like
exactly.
That's what's gonna happen.
I believe it. Yep. Believe it.
Yep. Was it Periscope? Is that what happened with Facebook?
That's right. What happened to that?
Facebook bought Periscope.
Periscope was owned by Twitter.
Okay, I feel like somebody bought Periscope, or something happened. Like it was like a big boom of like some technology like that, and then Facebook was like, "Oh, thank you."
Is it gone now?
Well, what happened is Periscope came around from Twitter, and then Facebook is like, oh, that's a good idea. Facebook Live is a thing. And then they just gave you the option on Facebook instead of having to download Periscope. And that's what happened to Periscope. Nobody uses it.
And Periscope is
interesting.
Dead.
It's not still there anymore. It's still there.
Like MySpace.
Yeah, it's still there.
Okay.
What's up with everyone? How's 3 weeks gone by? How's it treating everybody?
I mean, it's great. Fantastic. I'm having a great time. Having a good time. I wanted to have like various types of alcohol ready so that I could bring those all up into the frame, but alack and alas, it was not meant to be for this time. Next time I'll do it. I'll make that joke next time. And now that I've pre-told the joke, it'll be even funnier.
It will be.
Oh, yeah. Then you have to say it a third time.
That's right.
Rule three.
Yeah, that's right. Say it enough times where it gets not funny, but then gets funny again.
Yes.
The rule of Family Guy.
Right. Yes, Family Guy rule.
Indeed.
I'll go. I know, for real, I've been all right. Like I said, and I have said before, that Lindsay's still working, so nothing's really changed for her, except that I'm here all the time. So maybe you should be asking her this question about what's up,
right,
about how she feels about the house. No, but it's been really good. I've just been working on all the back end stuff for my business, and now that I've kind of done that, it's like, well, what do I do now? So I've been doing some self-portraits. I've been working out more, I've been running more. So I've lost a few. I've lost a belt loop. The abs are returning. So yeah. Actually doing pretty good, all things considered.
Everything you've lost, I have found.
I sent it to you, actually. Glad you got my package. Yes.
I intend to lose those as well at very soon. I have noticed through this whole shutdown that I've been cooking a lot and catering to, you know, your flavors and tastes without any concern to health or anything, and sure. It's been great.
Yeah. But dinner time should be happy time. I've always felt that way.
it's been happy, but it's been a little too happy. Sure. Especially without anything going on. Like there's just, you know, I'm not walking across the park every day, you know, which was always at least maybe you got a 2 mile walk. So I need to adjust all that stuff. So it's been great, but I need to adjust it. So
word.
Indeed. I walk every day. That's why I keep a steady balance of not changing anything ever.
Cause you're the mailman. Yeah.
That onesie is super cute.
Yeah.
Whoever got you that.
That was Samantha's Aunt Dina.
Oh.
But sweet. Yes, it is super, super cute. For those of you that do not know what he's referencing, I am about to show you. It says, of course I look like the mailman. He's my daddy.
Oh, aww. I love that.
Funny and adorable.
I think you need to bring Wesley Felix into every episode at least at one point at some point. So
that can happen.
Okay.
He like he's a happy boy.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of, hey, bring that baby over here.
Bring me that baby.
Yeah. He seems to be in a good mood right now, so let's do it early. Let's see. What have we been doing? Nothing. Yeah. I work, and then I come home, and that's that. Got some work done in the garden. Just trying to maintain that. Planted some roses and some flowers. That's about it. Not much time for anything else right now, no. Which, Matt, you will soon learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Times two.
Times two.
Two's basically the same as one, right?
This two arms, right?
Yeah, yeah, one for each arm.
Hoo-wee. It's gonna be crazy times.
It'll be fine.
Hey, Samantha. Samantha.
Bring us the child.
Samantha.
Bring the child here.
Bring the baby in here. Like, how do you not hear me? I said your name like eight times.
My dad used to do that. He would fall asleep in his chair in the living room, and I'd be standing there. I'm like, Dad, 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 Dad. And he'd wake up, what? And I'd say it eight more times. I'm standing right here.
How can you not hear me?
BJ, what have you been up to other than playing more garage or driveway shows?
This last week's driveway show was ridiculous. It was just so fun. They've been kind of growing. We didn't do it last week, and so maybe the week off. I mean, we had it last week, but we didn't participate. Like, the only the people across the street did it.
Oh.
Sorry, I get distracted by cute babies.
Baby.
Hi, Wesley, cute. Felix.
Super! Hi, Felix.
Cute. It's like, what the?
This is my I'm gonna eat that baby up.
His shirt says small but mighty.
Oh, that's adorable. How you doing, bud? Being nice to mom and dad?
Yes, he's a good
Yeah, boy. You are.
Yeah, boy. Little cutie pie. So this last driveway show, my neighbors Jorge and Oscar, they've been participating. They do drag shows, and Oscar came out and did Rick James, which isn't really drag, but you know what I'm saying. Came out and did that a few weeks ago, and it was a lot of fun. But this last week, yesterday, Jorge came out and did Tina Turner, and did four songs. She did two, and then left, and we played, and came back and did a couple more, and it was so fun, and it was by far the biggest amount of crowd that we've ever had. And they came out, and it was just it was phenomenal. It was just so fun.
What songs did he do?
Let's see. He did We Don't Need Another Hero from Mad Max, I believe.
Yeah.
He did Proud Mary, for sure, which, you know, starts up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Starts out slow. And that was really fun. And then the band, Sawyer and Little Cutie. Hi, Cutie Pie. Sawyer and Tony were all over it. They like played along with the song and I sang backup. So it was kind of like a live performance and a lip sync. Hi, Wesley.
He can see everything and he's like, what is happening? Look at these feet. Just look at it.
Foot.
Wow. Daddy John.
There you go. Both of your mommy.
You're doing this to me. Bye, Wesley.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anytime.
Thank you. So that was the inspiring. And then our neighbors across the street have kind of taken it as well. And I got on their Facebook or their they do it live on Instagram. And so I kind of followed them a little bit, but also came just it's just an amazing thing going on. It's incredible. So
he did the drag show like in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. And the response was insane. Traffic was like backed up on the block because people like come up and they don't want to leave and they stay there and everyone's out with their cameras and such. And And our neighbor Gene bought pizza for us. And so when we finished, we had a pizza waiting for us. And it was absolutely beautiful San Diego day, 75 degrees or some kind of very comfortable temperature with the sun out. It was unbelievable. And it was special. It was very special.
I love it. I freaking love it. And now I'm going to do this button right here.
That's what's up.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have news, Rich? I can hit news if you haven't. You do? I skipped to the drop just in case.
This just in.
I want to share my screen this time because I want to see all your faces. Would you like the good news or the bad news? And I'll start with the light fun news. So over the past week, and some of this is a little bit older because I've had this stored up for a little while, but do we all remember music television?
Yeah.
The MTV. Former MTV news legend Kurt Loder turned 75 recently. And the internet lost its collective mind. It's like, wait, because we're Kurt Loder is 75?
Yeah.
I lost my mind when I saw that. Because I remember watching that after school. I remember watching him after school.
Yeah.
And thinking he was the coolest. And he is an old man. That's older than my dad.
I think it's a lot like Ryan Seacrest. Because you like grow up and see him and he looks good and he sounds good. Mm-hmm. And you don't know that he's 40 when you're like 17 or whatever, but he is, or maybe even a little older. And now he's, you know, he ages with every year like the rest of us.
So.
Yeah, it's
so weird. That is so weird that happens. That's not good news. Wait, I'm a liar. In further good news, depending on, I don't know how you feel about this, whether it's good or not. Italy collectively as a country has decided that lockdown measures are going to be pretty much done on June 15th. And the article that I'm reading is talking about specifically movie theaters. So if you want to go to the movies in Italy, starting on June 15th, you will be able to do that.
Nice.
And that's going to be across the board. So I hope that works out for them.
Indeed.
I really do.
Me too.
I really, because I don't know about you guys, but I'm certain that this is the case, but I have friends that are all over the U.S., all over California, and, you know, everything's a little bit different everywhere. I think most of California is pretty much the same, where we're all still kind of in like a holding pattern, and that a lot of non-essential businesses are starting to open up, but they're open up in the sense that if it's a business that you can patronize without actually going into the business, then they're open, otherwise they're not open. And then there are people that are skirting those rules or people who probably could be open but aren't open because they just want to wait to have the full experience. And it's a little bit different everywhere. And that there are some places, you know, that are opening up maybe more than some people think they should. And they're starting to see like a new spike in cases because of that. And so it's, you know, it is what it is, I suppose.
Right. It's interesting at the very least to see how things play out.
And also, I guess, depending on how you view it, good news, we're going to get a live action Hercules because we don't already have a ton of those. We're going to have a live action Hercules developed at Disney, produced by, I forget their names. Dang it. Joe Russo. I forget his brother's name. Is it Mark? Is it Matt? The Russo brothers.
Daniel Russo.
Daniel Russo. Danny son. Daniel. That's not his name. BJ. Liar.
In Karate Kid, that's his name.
Yes, it is.
Love Russo.
Love Russo. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. I knew that didn't sound right. But yeah, of Avengers/Captain America fame, will be producing a new live action Hercules film over at Disney. I think to be released on Disney Plus because. Again, who knows when actual theatrical releases are fully going to come back. Trolls World Tour has set the stage for like large box offices for VOD, but everything that's come out since then has been kind of lukewarm. So there's no like, it's not like the steady upward trend that people were hoping for with that happening. So we'll see.
Disney Plus is about to smash that streaming record come July. I don't know if you have any news about what's happening on Disney in July.
I don't.
July 3rd, the original Broadway recording of Hamilton will be streamed.
Oh, yeah.
Available for streaming.
Oh, the original Disney one.
Plus.
Yeah, original cast.
Wow.
Yeah, that's going to
the old what the
that's going to smash their subscription record. Yeah, we're here.
Okay, weird. Everything went weird because I started to get a phone call from like a spam bot and like it took over everything.
Spam bot.
Yeah.
The worst of the Transformers.
Yes. I cannot argue that.
Oh, bravo, sir.
Yes, indeed. Very
right
well
there. Oh my right gosh. In on it.
Very nice.
I'd tip my hat if I had a hat.
Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have Disney Plus now, so awesome. Neat. Neat. Can't wait for that. Lots of sad news. There's sad news all over the world in general, but some celebrity deaths that happened over the past few weeks. For those of you who are Scrubs fans, actor Sam Lloyd passed away at the very, very young age of 56, which is just, that just blows me away. Blows my mind. Yesterday, for those of you who are fans of, or remember, let's see, what am I thinking of? A Mighty Wind or Best in Show, which is just absolutely phenomenal movies and so, so hilarious. The beloved TV dad Fred Willard passed away at the age of 86 over the past few days.
Oh.
Yeah, big fan.
You know that we have a somewhat of a connection to Fred Willard.
I didn't know that.
Well, because we all were on America Says with his co-star John Michael. Oh, except Jared. I'm sorry, Jared. I forgot that you weren't there. Oh, and Maddie. I'm sorry, Maddie. But most of us in this chat, we've all got a connection to him. So,
I'm really a peripheral character of this podcast. So,
you know what that's interesting, Jared, is that you wrote that you didn't have to write it backwards. You know what I mean?
I'm not mirrored.
He's not.
That's
mirrored.
Good.
I can choose to mirror it.
Yeah, I'm mirrored. I think I'm mirrored.
You are not mirrored.
I'm not mirrored. Okay.
I want a mirrored. No, I don't want a mirrored.
Yeah.
I'm not mirrored. It looks mirrored to me. Oh, wow.
I can read it just fine.
Okay. Because in Zoom calls, I've gotten very good at writing backwards so I can send messages to other people in the Zoom thing that they can read. Like my stupid brother when we're doing trivia together. And we need to send each other messages, and you know.
Anyway. Do you do Dallas's trivia?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the only one that I do. I would do other ones, but that's the one that I do.
Nice. I did Dallas's trivia on Wednesday for Harry Potter, and I won.
Of course you did. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Am I supposed to be surprised by this news?
I was surprised. I didn't know that you had so much Harry Potter trivia knowledge, Jared.
It's all up in here, baby. My brain is full of useless knowledge.
Did you know the wands?
No. My answer to that, literally, I typed to Dallas, "Who the hell knows this? I bet 0 points." I knew Harry's was Holly, and that was about it.
There you go. I have one last piece of fun news, just because let's end on a high note. A study was done recently in Hollywood of Hollywood films to find out who is the most swearingest actor in all of film right now. Do we have any guesses for the most swearingest actor?
In movies now.
In movies now.
Ooh. Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson, maybe.
They analyzed more than 3,500 film scripts to find this knowledge.
Joe Pesci?
That's like older movies, maybe.
But he made a recent one.
That's true. Did he even curse a lot in that, though?
Oof, I got nothing. I got no guesses.
Other than Samuel L. Jackson, I mean.
Jonah Hill.
That makes sense.
What?
Jonah Hill is the most swearingest actor in Hollywood.
What do they count everything like bitch, ass, damn? Or is it all just...
They count all curse words. Obviously, the list also includes Samuel L. Jackson. He's also very high on the list. Leonardo DiCaprio also finished very, very high. I tried to find the exact number here in the article. But as far as just counting, was it Wolf Street? He topped out at 376 cursed words just in that 3-hour movie, which is a record, apparently.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Golly.
That's a lot.
Golly gee, that's a lot of darn swear words, I tell you.
Language.
Golly gee, huh?
Golly gee, gosh.
Uh-huh.
That's the news. I'm sure there's more, but... Like many, well, I've been actively avoiding the news at some point.
But since we have one Mr. Matthew Warburton with us, let's hit this button.
You get the Kermit the Frog.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know? So recently, my wife has been showing me a bunch of movies, actually three particular movies that were made in a span of like a year within each other that are known as the Nicolas Cage Action Holy Trinity.
Ooh, Gone in 60 Seconds, Con Air, and The Rock.
The Rock!
Almost.
Dang it!
American Trinity.
It's Face Off, The Rock, and Con Air. Those were all that. Wow. I think Face Off was 90, or no, one of The Rock might have been like 96, and then the other two were 97. And anyway.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's astonishing. Yeah, just in 96 and 97, Nicolas Cage was the action hero of three different movies.
Because when I think action hero.
I know. And Nicolas Cage is a weird actor. Like, he's known for just being like an insane person in all of his movies. And so I thought it was really, really weird that he was the action icon for cinema for a while. But yeah, I guess he was also the leading man in some romantic comedies, which is also kind of strange, but he has some range. So I'd like to talk about those movies a little bit. Yes. and rank them in what I thought was best to worst. All right. So, the first one that I watched was Face Off with John Travolta and Nicolas Cage. So this basic plot, this is a John Woo movie, and you know it's John Woo because there's like doves and people are like holding two pistols and all that, shooting at each other. little trademark. And so basically it's like the story of John Travolta's like agent character who has this personal vendetta against the terrorist leader, Castor Troy, played by Nick Cage. And ultimately, they decide to have John Travolta's character go undercover by doing a face-off procedure, by taking a now vegetable version of Nicolas Cage and then taking his face and putting it on John Travolta's. And then he goes to jail under that guise. And then Nicolas Cage's character wakes up and then forces the surgeons to put John Travolta's face onto his and then just burns that place down, burns it to the ground. So now John Travolta and Nick Cage has to now break out of prison and then save John Travolta and Nick Cage. Or the other.
I'm so lost.
Yeah.
Welcome to the movie.
So yeah, basically they're disguised as each other, and then they have to like duke it out. It's basically the plot of Ernest Goes to Jail. And if you've ever seen,
go ahead.
Not the face off, not like the whole facial surgery, but like Ernest goes to jail. Ernest just happens to have a doppelganger in prison, and so they like do this whole like thing and switch places. And so then the evil Ernest is going out, basically being Ernest in life. And then regular Ernest is in jail, having to be like the hard guy. And then ultimately busts out of jail and then has to like save his loved ones and friends and family from the evil lookalike. So it's kind of the same. I saw a lot of parallels. So, and that movie was made in like 1990. So I was like, John Woo, that's kind of suspicious. But ultimately, like, Face Off, there wasn't a whole lot of like twists and turns in it, other than just like, let's see how this plays out. Yeah. And as far as like the people who really, you know, took the movie were John Travolta and Nicolas Cage. I really enjoyed watching Nicolas Cage try to like act like John Travolta and Nicolas Cage, like John Travolta being Nicolas Cage at the same time. So that was like really, really cool. And John Travolta was just basically like being crazy Nicolas Cage the whole time. So you actually saw this really like complex depth in what the actor Nick Cage was doing. And John Travolta was basically being the Joker. So, but yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Nice.
So then the next movie I saw was The Rock, which was it was directed by Michael Bay, I didn't realize, and produced by Jerry Bruckheimer. So those two together are going to blow some stuff up. And this time, Nicolas Cage is an FBI agent in chemical warfare. And there's like this whole thing with like, now Ed Harris is involved because he's like this, he's like a captain in the military, or like this huge, like high rank guy who's like, screw the military. They've been like screwing over all these people that I've seen, you know, dying, and not the government hasn't been giving anything to their families. So we're going to basically hold the government hostage by saying like, we're going to just release this insane, like nuclear chemical bomb onto San Francisco unless they give like all these veteran families all the money and support that they deserve.
I love that it's not enough that it's a chemical bomb or a nuclear bomb. It has to be a nuclear chemical bomb for us to really understand the danger.
Exactly, right? But yeah, it's a lot of fun. So they, you know, bring in Sean Connery, who like was the only guy who escaped
Alcatraz.
Alcatraz, yeah. Only guy who escaped Alcatraz. And then there's like this whole thing of like mercenaries of who Ed Harris has brought in. And that's actually cool. It has like a lot of like twists and turns. I thought overall it was really, really interesting, well written. A little bit heavier, not as like necessarily as fun as Face Off, but The Rock had a lot more depth to it. And also there's a lot more, I'd say probably like names kind of holding it together. At least you had like your key, like Ed Harris, Sean Connery.
Yeah.
And then Nicolas Cage, of course. And then the last one I saw was Con Air, which I was like, oh, this is gonna be really, really awesome. And that, talk about names, I didn't realize Dave Chappelle was in that movie.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I didn't realize any, I didn't know who was in it because I've never seen it before. There he is. Long hair.
John, that's not Cusack. The gif I thought you were gonna use. <So good. laughs>
John Cusack was in that movie. Apparently John Cusack is so embarrassed about that movie that he refuses to talk about it in interviews. So if somebody brings it up, he's like, no, Ultimately, I thought it was like a pretty fun movie. I think it blew up more things than that movie. There's more explosions than in The Rock, and that's a Michael Bay movie, which is insane to me. But yeah, so Con Air, it's, yeah, the story of like all these people, these prisoners being transported, and then the prisoners taking over the flight, and and poor Nicolas Cage needs to get back to his family because he was newly released. So, and what he does to be the Heart of Gold Ranger that he is. It was odd though, mainly because of his accent. I thought that Nicolas Cage was actually a little bit Southern. Like, I feel like he already has like a little bit of a drawl in his voice of something, but he went to Alabama to like perfect his accent for that movie, and it sounds really bad. Like, it's really distracting. And then they start like forcing songs in, like the main song, that one of the main songs that they like play over and over is that "How Do I Live Without You" a lot. And that song does not belong in that movie. And then they have Sweet Home Alabama, I think, a lot in that, and that's how they end the movie. Like, was just, they have like this big, pretty like serious, kind of heavy movie at points, not like necessarily like a lot of joy in it, and then they end it with that song with like a bunch of like the people kind of like dancing around and like in a TV style credits type thing, like TV style opening credits at the end of the movie. It's really, really weird, and so a lot of stuff kind of fell out of place. But it was, I mean, John Malkovich was awesome, and he had Danny Trejo in there, who's great. I mean, there's a lot of MC Gainey, I think, who played Mr. Smiley in Lost. Whenever I see that guy, I'm like, who is that guy? I know I've seen him, and I've been so intrigued by him. And then I look at him, oh, that guy. Okay, so
Steve Buscemi's in that movie.
Steve Buscemi, yeah, he has that really kind of cutting, like, nerve-wracking scene with the little girl where you think, yeah, uh-oh, what's gonna happen?
He's gonna eat her or something.
Yeah. But yeah, so I my personal ranking would be number one, The Rock, because everything with it was like just done really, really well. Everything was compelling. There's twists and turns. Writing was good. Then second, Face Off. I thought it was done. Like, I wish that there were more like kind of people that were keeping me compelled. It was mainly the two stars driving it, even though they weren't necessarily like, they weren't boring to watch in any means. It was a really fun story, but they were really the only ones kind of to watch in the movie. And then coming in last was Con Air, because I feel like for pretty much the whole movie, it was very, very like competent, but there was like a couple of things that really kind of threw it off for me.
Yeah,
but you know what, some of you might have different opinions.
No, my ranking is exactly the same as yours.
Yeah.
when you brought this up, I was like, I don't think of them as like a 1, 2, or 3, but put them in a triangle, right? It's like, yeah, what am I looking for in my Nicolas Cage movie today? Do I want like maximum ridiculousness? I'm going to watch Con Air because that's, yeah, the most ridiculous. Do I want like a little bit more nuanced of a performance? Then I'm going to go to Face Off. Do I want an actual movie that I would enjoy? Like, this is a quality film. Then I'll watch The Rock.
Yeah.
Because The Rock is a good movie. Like, it's a good movie. The other two.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
In Con Air, a guy is named Cyrus the Virus, and one guy is going to speak Spanish, and he's begging for his life, and he goes, "Sigh," and then John Malkovich finishes his sentence, not letting him say his name, Cyrus. He goes, Cy, and then he goes, Inara, and then flicks a cigarette into gasoline, and it explodes.
Oh.
Best movie. There it is. There it is.
There it is.
That's not the least ridiculous thing. That's not the least ridiculous thing I watched John Malkovich do this week, but I'll get to that when we talk about what you're watching.
I had to look up MC Gainey. Now I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
The dude. He's that dude. Yeah.
That guy.
He's that guy. Yeah. Mr. Smiley. That was his character.
I don't remember.
Yeah, he was like one of the others that was like.
Jared, yeah, he was like a lead bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the lead bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh, and fantastic. Great at it. Yeah. Great at it.
By the way, I disagree with John Cusack. I would talk about Con Air a lot more. And to me, like, even like for me personally, if I would rank one of those movies like the least, it's not a bad movie. It's just like, it's like Back to the Future. There are three fantastic, great, entertaining movies, you know. Whatever you want to throw them in is your personal choice, and the least of them is still going to be a great movie. So,
agreed. Good times. Outro you.
Outro me.
Thank you, Matt, for another great installment.
Out of here.
What do I know?
Although he's down here.
Excellent. Yeah, he's down in the very bottom middle for me.
To me, he's over there.
Bottom middle. Excellent.
Jared's right there.
Excellent.
Con Air is great. I wouldn't have put Face Off there. I'd put Gone in 60 Seconds as like the third. Maybe it's just four. You gotta.
If they're only doing four. Three, then yeah. But
I'm curious.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Talking about Nicolas Cage, did we talk about on this show the Disney Plus series, National Treasure?
We did not.
Series?
I don't think so. Yes.
Yeah.
There's going to be a series.
A series, and there's going to be a National Treasure 3 as well. But I think the series is going to come out before the movie.
I don't think the movie's set in stone yet. The series is definitely happening.
Now, the series, will that be with Nicolas Cage or no?
He is going to be in it, yeah.
He's play as it. His character, as his guy. Okay.
Yeah. But
without looking it up, name that character.
Oh, dear Lord.
Anyone?
The Nicolas Cage character?
Yeah.
Wasn't it like something like, not Ebenezer, Ichabod? No. He had a weird first name, didn't he?
It's something
I couldn't tell you.
Bates. It's something Bates.
Mm. I haven't the foggiest.
The Bates family.
Ah. That doesn't sound right at all. I don't know, though.
It was his grandfather. No, something with the name Ichabod.
It's,
look it up.
It's Mikey, Gates or Bates. Job. It's Gates or Bates.
I feel like we need a drum roll. Let's hear it, Mikey.
I'm getting there. Someone else is gonna
be on the phone.
Can't do it, that one.
Ben, oh, it's Benjamin Franklin Gates.
You were kind of right.
I remembered it was kind of a weird kind of American history historical sounding name, but
that's BFG.
Wow. That's close. Better than anything I could have made up.
You're close.
I said Gates or Bates. You knew it was Gates.
Yeah.
It was.
Last name. Pretty close.
That was good.
John Voight's in that movie.
That's right. Yeah. Who else is in that? Sean Bean's in that movie.
Sean Bean's in that movie.
Bean is in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Does he die?
Yes, he does.
He dies so good.
Yes, he does.
Classic.
Hi, I'm Sean Doyle.
Poor guy.
I've been Sean.
It's like Harvey Keitel. Hey, you're gonna be part of the Lord of the Rings franchise, and he's like, hell yeah, these are gonna be some of the most successful movies of all time. They're like, you're only in part of the first one. Son of a bitch,
dude. Same thing. Game of Thrones. This is gonna be huge. Oh, you're gonna die.
But yeah, it's you'll gonna be you. You'll be good. Everyone's going to love your character, and then you're going to get your head chopped off. Son of a bitch! Oh, good times. So, yeah, just moving right along. Here we go into this. Where's the button? What's everyone watching? BJ?
Let me go first, because coming off of that sound clip for What You Watching, which is a take on the Beastie Boys song What You Want, I watched the Beastie Boys documentary on Apple TV. I don't know if any of you have watched that or heard of it. Have you heard of it?
I heard of it, yeah.
I have heard of it.
So it's as part of Apple TV's promotion, there's certain things that I've heard about. One of the ones was The Morning Show with Jennifer Aniston, and then this Beastie Boys one that everybody who's a Beastie Boy fan has been like, you gotta see this documentary on Beastie Boys. So I did the free trial of Apple TV, and I watched the Beastie Boys documentary, and since I had it for a week, I'm like, well, let me watch something else, and I watched the entire season of The Morning Show.
And that's what you're talking about.
Sorry. Yeah. And I was so mad that I had to rip my head.
Falling apart over there.
But those are the only two things that I watched on it. And I felt it was a little lacking. Like, the Beastie Boys thing was cool. And as a Beastie Boy fan and somebody who grew up with them being so influential in my culture, it was really cool to watch. Except that if you haven't seen it, what it is, it's like they wrote a book that was kind of popular like a couple years ago, kind of just telling their story. And then it was almost like a live telling of the book on stage with a bunch of video and stuff. And so they do it in front of a stage in front of probably 3,000 people in like a large theater somewhere. And it just misses a little bit. Like, I think that he's telling stories, and he's telling stories, of course, about MCA, who passed away, and about how the evolution of who he was and who they were over the years, which has always been like a very inspirational a tale that somebody, if you watch the Beastie Boys for 30 years, where they start and where they end are such drastically different places. That is just a testament to human growth that is very impressive. And so when you see the Fight for the Right to Party guys bashing beer bottles on their head and being a jerk compared to the Free Tibet series that they did for years and bringing awareness to Tibet, it's just night and day. But it's so that part of it's very cool to see. But since it happens on a stage, and it's scripted, they're reading it off of teleprompters. And there's parts where he talks about it and he starts to get emotional. It feels, and it is rehearsed, you know, that he wrote these words already. He's reading them right now. He's reading them, you know, so he's not kind of like speaking from the heart, but clearly there are feelings that he has. But anyway, it just feels a little bit detached from everything, since it feels rehearsed and staged. But the storytelling is really cool of that. But I still feel like in terms of like an HBO documentary or something like that, I feel like that would have been even more effective storytelling of the Beastie Boys story than this. But The Morning Show was interesting and very good, but it's still where they went with the story, it just kind of fell off a little bit to make me feel like they're not ready to play with the big boys of, you know, of what's this AMC with Breaking Bad and those shows and HBO that Apple TV's not they're not ready to play in that level yet. What do you got, Jared?
Is that show is supposed to be like the inner workings of like the Today Show and like Steve Carell's an evil like Matt Lauer type manipulator, right?
If not exactly, it certainly is. There's an analogy there. I don't know exactly like how true to life that they're supposed to be, but that'd be interesting to find out. No, because I mean it's based on it, but it's clearly not the way that the story goes. Clearly isn't what happened in real life. So, but I'm sure that was probably based on all that, you know, like that was the framework of the whole storytelling. And it's still good stuff, but you know, it's just not there yet in the high quality of television that we have kind of grown accustomed to over the last 15, 20 years. It's not quite there yet.
But right.
Enough to where I didn't, subscribe, you know, I used my week and then I didn't see enough good content to like give it a month. So I'm out.
I heard the Jason Momoa show was really good too.
Someone's gonna have to watch it.
Not this dude. I have enough
Jared
services right now.
Watch it. Because Jared watches everything.
Anything.
I watched The Mandalorian.
Had you not seen that?
I had not seen it.
What'd you think?
It was alright.
That shit was good, dude. That shit was good.
It was the hype ruined it. Honestly.
Okay.
Like it was hard. I tried really hard to escape the hype of it and like fucking Baby Yoda shit is everywhere. And I'm like, I didn't even feel like it was that cute. That's the other thing. I'm like, I can objectively see why this is cute, but it's been so oversaturated by this point. I'm just like, it's not that cute. Like, calm the fuck down. I thought the story was cool. Pedro Pascal is amazing. Like, he's just a stellar juggernaut of an actor. When we finished the last episode, my overall feeling was that the whole was better than the parts. With the exception of like the final two episodes, like the rest of them were like this is good, like these are good, and the last two episodes were great. So like all together, like it that really lifts it up. But I wasn't like, I don't know, I wasn't blown away by the early episodes. Like just wasn't.
I just really like the, you know, villain of the week type aspect of it, where it's like he's gonna go solve this thing now, where it's not like it doesn't necessarily need to be this huge Star Wars thing, where it's just like this is a random character in this universe that you like. That's why I appreciated it as much as I did.
Did anyone hear the next season is going to include a cameo from one Boba Fett?
I did hear that.
With the actor who played...
I did not hear that. Boba Fett is the most overrated character in all of everything. What does Boba Fett... Boba Fett captures Han, and then he dies like a bitch in Return of the Jedi. Like, that's what Boba Fett does. That's it. He's not that cool. The armor is cool. And that's why he's... What he is.
The costume designer did a great job with that character.
An excellent job, yes.
Hey, the whole Mandalorian season owes a debt of gratitude to the people who made them look so cool enough to make a whole series about them, yeah. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, whoever, I don't know the name of the designer there, but they're worth their weight in gold.
Yeah.
You know how many toys that sucker sold? Oh my god.
Yes. Let's see. I have watched a couple of things. But they're just on YouTube. I watched the John Krasinski Some Good News, of course. And I've watched the Josh Gad Reunited Apart on YouTube as well.
How many of those did you watch?
I've watched all the John Krasinski ones, and I've watched, there's only two of the Josh Gad ones.
Back to the Future.
And the Goonies.
Oh, and the Goonies. I watched the Goonies. That was good. I haven't seen Back to the Future, though.
It's good. It's not as good. I was like, how come they don't have, he didn't get Thomas F. Wilson, who played Biff. He wasn't there.
You require Biff.
Yes.
Biff requires Biff. Needed.
He's so good in the movies too.
Did you watch the Parks and Rec reunion?
I did not, because I did not watch Parks and Rec.
It was real good. It was exactly what I needed that day.
I was blown away by it. I thought that it was so well done, like just within that format, the writing of it and the execution of it was just spot on. It was great.
It was very clever.
Yeah, I never finished Parks and Rec. So,
Was it an episode, or did they reread an old script?
It was an episode.
A new episode.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That was very cool.
Have you watched any of the Saturday Night Live from home?
I have.
Some of them have been very good. Like, some of them I've been very impressed with.
I've actually been thinking, like, because Saturday Night Live has kind of fallen into its own sort of rhythms for so long, I'm kind of wondering if, because of it, like, this is really forcing them to really be creative. The first one was a little bit kind of clunky and hit or miss, but, like, some of the past ones have gotten some, like, really, like, good stuff on there where I'm like, wow, this is forcing them to be fresh.
Yeah.
Did you see the skit about Let Children Drink?
Yes.
That was so funny. That was one of the funniest things I've seen. It's in response to the coronavirus and how we get through it is Let Children Drink. And it's funny. It's so funny. So if you get a chance, you should watch that. You should watch a lot of what they're doing is like, you know, it's probably the same hit and miss rate as the live show, but it's just fun to see them do what they can with the limitations that they have. You know,
it seems cool. like a little bit like more like punk rock sketch comedy now, where like with some of the other, it kind of reminds me of like maybe older Whitest Kids, you know, or like Kids in the Hall, or you know, stuff like that.
The Stand.
The Stand. Oh, the State.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. So.
I got you. Those are very different things.
Yes.
I was trying to put that together. I was like, The Stand?
I loved The State.
Yes, dude. I want to dip my balls in it. Funniest things that nobody knows. I say that all the time, and everyone's like, what are you even talking about? I'm like, dude.
Loved that show. I watched, what else did I watch? I have like a whole giant list of things because we're at home. I watched Onward.
Ooh.
Which How is was it? Real good.
Yep.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
I'm talking like peak Pixar good. Like, this is a good movie, and it really bums me out that it doesn't get to do the whole like be awesome in theaters and like all that, because it's absolutely like from the design of the world, the voice acting is fantastic. The story's really good. Like,
has everybody seen it? Like,
I actually got to see it in the theaters.
Me too.
Oh, okay. So it's just me.
It's just BJ.
You haven't seen it?
You.
I gotta see it.
Dude, oh, yeah. As someone with an older brother, you definitely need to see this movie.
Absolutely. I don't have an older brother.
Maybe today. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It got you. It's Pixar. I mean, you know.
Right.
But it'll right in there. Really?
Yeah.
On the complete opposite end of the spectrum, we watched, for Bad Movie Night, we watched Aragon.
Is that a dragon movie?
Yeah. Why, yes, it is, gentlemen. Aragon, of all the movies, if I was a fan of these books, I like, you know, it's, to me, it's just another bad movie. But if I was a fan of this book series, I would be furious because this movie, like, it shows potential all over the place and then squanders it completely with a lead actor who is like the talent of this container of wet wipes. Like, it's such a bummer. And you have him acting opposite, like, great actors. Like, John Malkovich is in this movie. Jeremy Irons is in this movie. And they can't save it. Like, the mark of a good, like, sci-fi or fantasy movie for me is, like, how good does your, like, fantasy or sci-fi language sound? Like, does it sound stupid when your actors are saying the names of things? And in this movie, everything that they say sounds dumb. Like, it just all does. Like, nobody can make the fantasy language sound good. Not one person in this movie succeeds in this. And there's so much of it, like, in quick, rapid-fire succession that you're like, what am I even listening to? Like, this is so stupid. It's so bad. It's a perfect bad movie night movie. Like, it is bad.
Haven't seen it. Haven't read it. Know nothing about that series.
Oh, my God.
Book is so good.
Like, they have a scene where, like, the dragon's, like, trying to catch up to people on horseback. And then two scenes later, the dragon itself literally saying, what horse is faster than a dragon? I don't know. The horses from two fucking scenes ago that you couldn't catch? Like, my memory's not that bad. Oh, that's so bad.
For me, I would have been like, yeah, what horse is faster than a dragon?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
If you take out the How to Train Your Dragon series, what is the next best dragon movie?
Are we talking like movie about dragons or movie with a dragon?
Both.
Never Ending Story.
The Luck Dragon?
Nah. Yeah.
That's not a dragon dragon.
It's in the name, Luck Dragon.
The answer is Dragonheart with Sean Connery and Dennis Quaid.
I have one.
They made like five more of those.
Yeah, they were terrible.
Yes, there are like five direct-to-video Dragonhearts.
No,
it might be four.
Not.
I might be exaggerating, but there are a lot.
No, he's not. Like,
is it really five?
I think it's four or five. I'll look it up real quick here.
Did you see Dragon Slayer in the 80s? I think it was the 80s. I like that one. Like, that was a lot of fun.
My watch says, I agree. It's a text message from my wife. It says, I agree. Talking about Dragonheart.
I loved that movie.
According to this, there's only three, but I don't think that's right.
No, there's more than three. Because I've seen way too many of them pop up on Netflix for there to only be three.
Are there any other dragon movies?
I mean, there's Reign of Fire, which is an awesomely bad movie as well.
There's two Pete's Dragon. So
yes, that's a great movie.
Pete's Dragon original is great. I haven't seen the remake.
I haven't seen the remake
either. Me neither.
I've watched some of the remake because that was one of the movies that came with my Disney Movie Club account that I didn't watch carefully, and so I bought it. And I watched a little bit of it, and it's just really depressing because it starts off with like a kid like driving with his family going like on a road trip or something like that, and then they get in a car accident and his parents die. And so now it's just like now the kid's like an orphan in the wilderness. And I was like, when do the creepy like foster parents come out and fall in the mud and sing songs and all that? Like, that's
right.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So on Amazon, there is a Dragonheart DVD collection set that has five movies on it.
There it is.
And then there's Dragonheart, Battle for Heartfire, and Dragonheart Vengeance. So, yeah,
hey,
really bad.
Matt, in your defense, again, I have headphones in. Samantha can't hear anything you guys are saying. Samantha just said, technically, the Never Ending Story has a dragon in it, too.
Yeah.
Matt picked Never Ending Story and we gave him crap because there's a movie about dragons.
I thought Smaug was like the best on-screen dragon until Game of Thrones was a thing.
Oh yeah.
And by far the best thing about those movies, which is weird that like that dragon by itself looked so good and a lot of the rest of the CG doesn't.
That's where all the money went.
Really doesn't. Yeah.
I always remember the cartoon, the Lord of the Rings cartoon.
Oh yeah.
And like shooting him, was that a thing? Like he had like that scale missing or something. They shot him in the scale.
Yep.
I always thought that was cool.
Yep. Yeah.
Like whoa.
Classic. Hit that dragon in the one spot. The one spot.
So I've watched, I haven't finished it yet, but on Netflix, Hollywood.
I've heard good things.
It's interesting. It's who's the director now? It's Ryan. What's Ryan his name? Murphy. Ryan Murphy, Glee, and other things. It's pretty good. It's kind of like a little. I don't know, a little stylized, like almost maybe like Glee kind of like a little bit stylized, but it's still fun to watch. So we're going to finish that after we've got about three more episodes.
Right. And the premise of that is like, this is what Hollywood could have been, or like the shapings of what Hollywood could have been if like people stood up about sexism and racism and stuff.
That like that whole arc of what they're trying to say with it, maybe we haven't gotten there exactly yet. So so maybe we'll have to see the end of the series to see. But it's supposed to be like a historical fiction. I think. Yeah. Yeah. So so kind of based on, you know, kind of the times and the setting and the area of Hollywood in the 40s, I think, maybe or so. That we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But it's been pretty good. But I also watched Peanut Butter Falcon.
Rich is now an ad, by the way.
Very good. It finally came through. He finally
brought
got
to
his,
you
yeah.
by Eolus Webkin.
His sponsorship finally came through, so that's good. he's just a pretty picture. That's all he is now.
There you go.
Fantastic.
But dang it, what was that? Just
Peanut Butter Falcon.
Peter Falcon. It was great. It was great. And Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
The little circle of my opinion of him continues to evolve, and it makes me think if I will ever have like a circle of opinion like that of Seth Rogen, but I kind of doubt it. Like, I just kind of doubt it.
I have always loved Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
He's never let me down in a movie.
In a movie, he's always been pretty good. He's always been pretty good. It's the extracurriculars that are like, hey, come on, dude. Come on.
I'm okay with it.
I enjoy like the way he kind of like faced it all and came out like and just embraced it. That to me, like that made me like him. Like, like, all right, buddy, you're cool. I like it. Anyway, he's great in it.
Samantha, you're gonna have to just come in here and start talking if you're gonna keep texting me. Indiana Jones .. major letdown. Is what she said.
Apparently, Shia LaBeouf was really upset about that. Like, one thing that I have done, like going and doing some research about him, is like he really comes down hard on himself. Like, he really feels like he let down like everybody with Indiana Jones. He's like, yeah, I didn't handle that well, and I didn't give it my all, and I really let people down, and I regret it. And I was like, oh, dang.
While I appreciate him saying that movie was doomed not because of him.
Yeah, it wasn't his fault. Not his fault at all.
Yeah.
Did he write the scripts?
Did he say it's a good idea to jump in a refrigerator and get blasted by a nuke and then fly across the desert and then jump out going like, I'm glad I'm okay.
Yeah.
I don't think that was Shia LaBeouf's fault.
No. That happens. If you've ever... Yeah. Last nuclear bomb I was in.
Ridden a refrigerator out of a nuclear blast.
Stupid.
Apparently that was Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale's idea for back. That was supposed to be how Back to the Future ended.
That's right. No, that was supposed to be the yeah. Instead of a bolt of lightning, he's gonna like drive into a nuclear explosion or some shit, right?
Yeah, an old
what?
Yeah,
yeah. Back in like 1955 or in the 50s when they were doing those testings, like that's how they were gonna do it. Where he was going, they knew that they're gonna like drop a bomb here. Like the government was gonna drop a bomb here, so he was just gonna drive into that would ignite the nuclear reactor and then send them back to 1985. And then they're like,
no.
Let's not do that.
Incinerate him.
They made the wise decision to not do that. Steven Spielberg was like,
that's why I need someone in the room who will go,
maybe not. Yeah, that's funny. Anything else? Anybody watch anything else?
Just a mountain of stuff. I watched Yesterday.
I liked that movie.
Love it.
I liked most of that movie.
Yep.
The I liked end, that movie. The end was like kind of, I don't know. I won't say unfulfilling, but that's the only word I can think of to describe it. So I'll say unfulfilling. I don't know. It's weird.
I
was going to say, was the word you're looking for rural terrible?
No, it's not real terrible. It's fine. I think there's just so many, they pull on so many threads that like don't really go anywhere. There's this whole like thing about like the Oasis song, like there's like this whole big moment that the two of them have together that like forms their like bond of friendship, and it's because he plays Wonderwall, but like Oasis is like the other band that doesn't exist in this universe, so right. It's like were they never like bonded as friends because he never did that because that song never existed, or like there's so many, I don't know, there are a lot of inconsistencies there for me, like the whole like cigarettes don't exist thing, and like they're like little gags that they hint at that they just never follow up on. Like, not that you need to like keep doing them over and over again, but like just dropping bombs like that and not looking at it ever again was kind of odd to me.
I'll take a Coke. What?
A what? Coke. Like there's a lot of like moments that are meant there to make the audience go, and then that's just it. You're like, okay.
Yeah, no, I liked that there. Movie. I was expecting it to, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, I guess, the ending, I was expecting it to, like, revert back, but it didn't go there.
I did appreciate that about it, that they at least commit to that. This is
it was all a dream.
Universe
this is, altering, this is the world now, right?
Yeah.
It was all a dream.
Dallas McLaughlin went on a tirade about that movie.
Oh, really?
How we like the Beatles and we appreciate the Beatles as being the greatest songwriters there are because of at the time and what they did as a group. But literally, do you honestly believe if they did not exist, if right now you turn on the radio and that guy singing I Want to Hold Your Hand was on the radio, would you think this is the greatest fucking song I've ever heard?
No. You wouldn't. No.
But if you started with Day in the Life or something like that, you know, there are certain Beatles songs that if you started with,
I think you're tainted by the lens of our lifetime and knowing it, knowing that they're huge and people who were like, I grew up with a few teachers who were like Beatles, like mega fans who were obsessed with the Beatles because the Beatles were during their formative years, like when their taste in music and pop culture and entertainment developed, that's when the Beatles were the Beatles. So for them, there is no better band. And for me, I'm like I've heard a lot of songs in my life that I would rather listen to than just almost anything made by the Beatles. And that's not to say that the Beatles aren't great, because like I can recognize good music. But if that music was released today, not a chance.
Nope.
Just no, like the broad popular tastes have shifted completely since then, and it just wouldn't land the same way.
What would be interesting is to kind of, this is almost scientific, I guess, but in our reality, the Beatles did something which was kind of make a huge shift in our musical culture for a lot of people. Like and kind of sort of bring rock and roll, like how we consider it, into the forefront. And so because of what they did, paved the way for probably every band that you probably like now, I would think. Mm-hmm. So in a movie like Yesterday, if the Beatles never existed, it would also mean like a lot of other bands probably wouldn't exist too. So I don't know if they touch on that in the movie or
nope,
not.
Nope, just Oasis, just the one, it turns out.
But yeah, because you think like if Pearl Jam didn't exist, Stone Temple Pilots probably wouldn't exist, you know? And so it's just, well, it's that whole like things that feed other trends. So
there's a scene in the movie where he Googles a bunch of famous bands and they all still exist. So you go.
Oh, well. It's fun though. It's like, it's not a bad movie at all. It's just fun. Yeah. It's a fun good movie. Anything else?
That's it.
Saving the rest for next time. Of course there's more.
Yes.
They only watched 3 movies in the last 2 weeks. Come on.
I know. It's difficult because I don't watch anything. I wake up, I make breakfast, and then I go to work, and then I come home, and I take care of the baby for a little bit, and then I maybe play a video game for a short amount of time, and then we put the baby to bed and go to sleep and do it all again. Like, I'm not at home watching stuff. Samantha watches stuff, but usually it's just stuff that she's watched already because there's a baby to take care of. She doesn't have time to focus her energy on stuff. So watching new stuff with a baby around is not the way to watch new stuff.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. You're going to have 2 of them.
Yep. Yeah, line up some stuff that you're already seeing that you love right now.
That'll that blows my mind that you're going to have 2.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
Whew. That'll be an adventure.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to learn things a lot differently than I learned things because you have 2 of them. Like, what if they don't sleep at the same time? How the hell is that? Ooh. I don't know, man. Good luck.
You got
this. Be fine.
You got this.
Thank you for your encouragement, Jared.
No, like,
I'm not trying. How are you gonna do this?
Oh my god! I can't imagine it. One is crazy. I can't imagine 2. But there's all sorts of people that manage twins. It's just a whole different, set of rules and way to go about it. So, but you guys are gonna be fine. That's the thing. Like, I didn't know how the hell we were going to do it. But guess what? We're figuring it out as we go. And we're just fine. Despite everyone being like, you're going to lose your mind. You're going to go insane. It's like, no, we're going to figure it out because that's what you do. And then you come up with your plan. And then the plan works. And you're like, oh, this is how it's done. Duh.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is crazy to think about. And I can only imagine what you guys are going through your minds. So it's crazy. Good times. But let's hit this button.
All right, I'm going to stick something in here because
that's what she said.
Hey, Lieutenant Dirty. Oh, sorry.
Wah, wah. Well, I should have probably
signing off after that one.
Oh my. All right. Well, I should have probably put this in, what's up, but, I didn't get a chance to sneak it in, but I am, now newly, re-unclified.
Hey.
I have my little brother had a baby on May the 4th, so I've got a little Jedi nephew.
That's
I'm very excited about.
Congratulations, dude! That's dope.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's very cool.
As a fellow uncle, I'm with you. So
awesome. I got a couple things. Like Jared, been watching a lot of YouTube, a lot of different things, Twitch, a lot of stuff online. I'm going to recommend this. Just it's geared towards gamers, but I think even if you're not a gamer, it's worthwhile. It's called Healthy Gamer. You can find it on YouTube or Twitch. It's basically a psychiatrist having conversations with like people who stream video games all the time, and you know, dealing with the issues that they're dealing with. You're basically getting to sit in on a session, and I find it very helpful, especially with the way things are going right now. You're maybe indoors all the time and stuff, and maybe you're dealing with your own things. It's kind of neat to see, you know, people kind of talking through their problems and stuff. And I don't know, for me, I found it very helpful, and I think other people might find it helpful as well. Highly recommend Healthy Gamer. But for more traditional stuff on Netflix, I've been watching the third season of Medici. It's dude, I mean, I know I've talked about this show before because I love it so much, but man, they just knock it. I've only seen two episodes and I can't wait to finish it, but it is amazing. Really amazing. I highly recommend it.
Nice. That's it?
That'll do it.
Love it. Sweet. Well, this has been fun, gentlemen. Thanks for joining in, Matt.
Of course.
Yay.
Yeah, thanks everyone out there for listening and liking, subscribing, and all that fun stuff. But this has been Life's a Binge. I am Jared.
I'm BJ.
I am Rich.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Matt.
And
we'll see you on the couch.
On the couch. On the couch. The couch.
Yay.
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
Excellent.
When you
good
turn
to see
your
everybody
down like this, I totally thought you put a fedora on. I'm all, what's this hat he's got on now?
Nice.
Oh, very nice.
Awesome.
Guys.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Peace.